This is the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome to Eat Great, Live Well Radio, your trusted source for the information you need to take control of your health and your life. No complicated medical speak, just straight talk about eating healthier without giving up the foods you love. Now, here's the host of Eat Great, Live Well Radio, food psychology coach and best-selling author, Janelle McCauley.
Hi, and welcome to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm Janelle McCauley, and I'm so glad you decided to spend the next hour with me. My promise to you is that if you take action on the information we provide each week, you will transform your health and your life. Before I introduce my guest for today's show, I want to invite you to go to eatgreatlivewellradio.com and download our free ebook, Overcoming Portion Distortion. It's packed with quick and easy ideas for making any mealtime fun and healthy. So get your copy today. Go to eatgreatlivewellradio.com. We've got another great show for you today, so grab a pen, paper, and your favorite beverage, and let's get started. My guest on today's show is Deborah Bateman. Deborah is the vice chairman at National Bank of Arizona, but many of you know her as a community advocate who supports many local causes, including the advancement and recognition of women. Deborah epitomizes achievement, determination, and kindness, both professionally and personally. And in fact, she's recently launched Deborah Bateman LLC, and I'm excited to hear more about that. Her 40-plus years of inner banking career have seen her rise from teller to executive while never losing the grounded perspective and touch that makes her a valued friend and coach. And Deborah has an amazing story of her personal journey to health and a healthy life. When Deborah speaks, it's from the heart, and I'm looking forward to our conversation today. On today's show, we're going to talk to Deborah about how you can live the life you deserve. Welcome, Deborah.
Well, thank you, Janelle. It is a pleasure to be here.
I'm really excited to have this conversation. I've learned so much from watching you locally and in our community, and I know that our listeners are going to learn so much from you also. And I'd love to start our conversation by having you tell our listeners just a little bit more about your background and why you started Deborah Bateman LLC.
Well, that's a really great question. And you know what? It's really probably a more recent occurrence. I had a major life event at about age 50, which is 14 years ago. And that particular life event was absolutely an impetus for my own personal self-actualization. And, you know, it's one of those things that everybody experiences self-actualization at different points in their life. There's probably some people that really never truly discover who they are. But it's been so profound for me that what I've recognized about myself is that I was just kind of moving forward in life. I was driven professionally. I wanted to accomplish things, but I really didn't have a defined purpose or a why. And after I had this experience, which I've shared in a book, it was something that once I knew who I was, I had to live that life. And so what's happened in the last several years is I have visioned a life outside of my career as a banker. And one year ago, launched Deborah Bateman LLC with the intent to really be able to help motivate and inspire individuals to grow both professionally and personally through coaching, inner discovery, and also travel and cultural exposure. I just believe so strongly that everyone should be able to live the life they deserve or the life they want. Janelle, I know you know, too many times people are passengers in their lives. They're along for just the ride. They may not even have a destination or a goal. And a lot of times they're simply an accessory or an accompaniment to someone else's life. They're not living the life that they were meant to live, to recognize that potential, their purpose, and their goals. And that's why I'm doing what I am doing today.
Well, you know, it's interesting as you say, you know, they're a passenger, because I think a lot of people say they want to do something different. They really feel they want to do something different, but they don't take any action to make that happen. And we know, you know, if you keep doing the same thing, you're not going to get different results.
No, exactly. That is so key. If you keep doing the same thing, you're going to get the same results you always get. But I mean, it's really being able to vision out that. One of the things that I collect and that we do with our journeys, and I know we'll talk more about that later, but everybody's got a life story, and we really encourage people to share that life story. And but what I say is that we've really got two life stories. We've got the one that we've already lived, and that one, you know, the one from the start, you know, I mean, it's where we've been and what we've done. But there's a second life story, too, that can be so rich and so rewarding. And that one is the one that starts today and then goes forward. And in order to really do that, we've got to stop. We've got to know who we are. We've got to know where we want to go. And then we've got to make the time and the effort to vision, to write, and to manifest that next chapter in our life.
That's so true. And, you know, it really does come down to time and effort. But I think before you can do that, I think knowing where you know, who you are, what you want, and really having a good idea of, you know, what you're going to be doing, then helps you make the time and, you know, have the effort. Otherwise, it's just you're on this road and you really don't know where you're going. And when you don't know where you're going, you know, basically anything will do.
Yep. I mean, life just happens. You are so right. And I think knowing who you are is essential, and it's the key to really living a wonderful life, a life that you can enjoy and be proud of. You know, at 50, I found myself living a life that, you know, probably others had probably programmed me to live, whether I was, you know, being the daughter that my parents expected me to be or the wife that my husband expected being to be, probably I was even more caught up in trying to be the employee that my employer expected me to be. And I had not stopped and taken that time to really discover who I was and what I wanted. And that's what self-actualization is, and that's when it's found, when you can literally stop, dig deep, and really pull that out and know what your purpose is, what your why is, and why you're here, and what you're supposed to do with your gifts.
Now, and I think we've been through a really similar journey in a lot of ways, because I was 53 when my mom passed away, and I kind of went through kind of who am I, what do I want? And for me, it was, I had to figure out, okay, what makes me happy? And it's not an instant answer that just pops up and here's everything you've been looking for. You really have to look deep inside yourself and really take some time and step back. And I did a lot of journaling also, because that's, for me, that's how I get my thoughts, my emotions, and nobody judges it, which is so perfect, because it's just really who I am and what I'm thinking.
It's exactly. I mean, it took me literally a year of journaling and everything else, and then it became so clear who I was and what I was supposed to do, what my purpose was. But you're right, it is not overnight, and it takes work. And but boy, what a reward when you can see who you are and where you want to go.
Absolutely. The first thing I had to stop doing was telling myself I was too old to make a change at that time in my life, because, you know, I think at that point things are kind of set and done. But I've told people over and over again that age is just really a number. You can still do so many things. And I finally stopped letting my age define what was possible and what I could do. And I mean, even have a few years on me, and look at what you're doing. It's so, age really doesn't stop you unless your mind tells you that it has to stop you.
Right. You know what? I'm going to go back to you on this. So many times, age is a number. What will stop us is our ability to function, and that's our health. But the age has nothing to do with it. I mean, I look at people out there, a Louise Hay, you know, who is an absolute inspiration, especially with health and everything else. And she's in her 80s and going strong. No, age has nothing to do with it. And quite honestly, I'm going to tell you, for women, especially baby boomers, men and women, a lot of them do not really get to that point of self-actualization until they're in their 50s. Several years ago, we used to call it a midlife crisis, when you woke up and say, there's got to be more to life than what I'm doing. But that, in essence, is a self-actualization. If you can do what you said, work on it, journal, you know, dig deep and really say, who am I? You know, and what are my gifts and what am I supposed to do?
No, and I think you're right. I think part of it is a generational difference. And, you know, for me, I watch my children and I look at that generation, and they seem to be, from what I see, more in touch with what makes them happy, what they want to do, and they have a much easier time saying, nope, that's not for me. Whereas I was brought up that says, okay, you know, here are your roles and here are the things that fit within those roles that you need to do. It wasn't really as much of a choice.
I agree with you so much. I the same thing. My daughter's 35, and I really see that generation recognizing and having that self-actualization long before their mothers or their fathers really and truly did. And in the very same vein, I'm going to say, look at our mothers, you know, or our parents, and you know what? They maybe never even ever got to that point. So what I believe is, I do believe the world will be a better place, because I believe our young people have searched, do know, and they're not selling themselves short. They're not trying to be who someone else wants them to be. I think they're real focused on really addressing and living their own core values.
Absolutely, absolutely. And before we go on break, I want to ask you, what motivates you to live a healthy life? We call it your big why, and I know you've gone through a real health transformation. So what is your big why, and what motivates you and your health?
Well, I'm going to give you a little bit of a sideways answer here. My answer, my point-blank answer, is my legacy is why. And I was out there really kind of moving around, changing careers, really, really focusing on starting this business and wanting to be able to support people, have them recognize their potential, when I got hit with my health scare, which I know we'll talk about more later. But what I recognized right then, that I can have all the wonderful intentions in the world to change the world or to, you know, help people be the best that they can be. But if I don't have my health, I can't do that. So I really and truly look at it as my legacy, the legacy that I want to leave, the way that I want to impact the world, is the reason that I have made major life changes and I'm living a healthy life.
I love that, because you're very clear and you can hear it in your voice when you say that. So we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I want to talk about your health scare, kind of what you went through, because you took some real steps to get healthy. And I think that's important for people to hear, that you really can take control of your health. This is Janelle McCauley, and you're listening to Eat Great, Live Well Radio.
Do you struggle with your weight or your health? Do you wish you had more energy to do the things you really want to do? Are you tired of counting calories and fad dieting? Do you want to eat your favorite foods and not feel guilty? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then the Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program is the answer for you. Being healthy isn't about fad dieting, feeling guilty, or eating nothing but tofu and wheatgrass. It's about making small, healthy choices that add up over time to create life-changing transformation for you and your family. The Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program will show you how easy it is to be healthy, happy, and well-fed all at the same time. Visit eatgreatlivewell.com for more information or to enroll in this life-changing program. You deserve to both eat great and live well. Check it out today at eatgreatlivewell.com.
I'm looking for a certain kind of woman, and I think you know her. She's an entrepreneur that is highly connected, successful, significant in her own industry, and considered the go-to woman in her community. She's received so much from so many women in business, she's ready to give back to others on their journey, lifting as she climbs. Hi, this is Sandra Yancey, and I'm the founder and CEO of eWomen Network. I'm looking to connect with the woman I've just described who lives in your community so that we might have a conversation about how eWomen Network's proven success system can provide her a platform to elevate her success and ability to support women in business. Our international community of managing directors are influencing the speed of success for women in business around the world. If that sounds like something that you want to be part of or know someone we should talk with, send an email to managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com. That's managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com. And let's start the conversation.
You're listening to Janelle McCauley on the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm your host, Janelle McCauley. Today we're talking with Deborah Bateman. And before the break, we were talking about just women and their roles and how things have changed over the years. And I'd love to have you, Deborah, share a little bit about your health scare, kind of what, you know, what happened, and then what steps did you take to get healthy?
You bet. You know what? I was going along just great. I've actually been very fortunate to have a very healthy life. I've had, you know, a few things that have had to be addressed, but nothing out of the ordinary, nothing that would be considered a major event. And I had started Deborah Bateman LLC and, you know, was doing my responsibilities and duties at National Bank of Arizona and probably pretty much going at 100 miles an hour like a lot of people who know me know that I do. I'm out there. I'm making things happen. And I had gone this fall in October to a trip with 12 women on a wisdom quest. And one of the women there, as she had told her story, had talked about a doctor that she had very much really liked and engaged. The doctor was licensed or educated as a medical doctor, but had later become a naturopath. And it was very appealing to me because it was someone that I felt from a core value standpoint that I could engage with. So when I got back in late October, I called for an appointment with this doctor to really kind of check on, as many women in their 60s probably need to or want to, my whole hormone thing. I was having hot flashes at random times, and it wasn't a whole lot of fun. And so I suspected that my hormones were probably not where they should be. So I went in, and this doctor is absolutely incredible, but she spent an hour and a half really pulling answers out of me and really getting information from me that I had probably long forgotten about, not only my own medical history, but my family medical history. So as we were getting ready to conclude and she was going to have me do some tests and everything else, she went to take my blood pressure. And she took it the first time, and she looked at me and didn't say anything. And I said, "What?" She goes, "Do you know what your blood pressure is?" And I said, "No, what is it?" She goes, "All right, let me take it one more time." And so she took it one more time, and she stepped back. And my first scare was the look in her eyes. And she says, "Deborah," she goes, "this is incredibly serious." She goes, "Your blood pressure is 220 over 120. She goes, I'm almost, I don't know what to do. It's like I should call emergency. I should get you to the hospital right now. You are a walking time bomb. You know, you are a potential stroke victim at any minute right now." And I would say that moment scared me sufficiently. We did some things in the office that was able to bring it down before she called the hospital or anything else, but with the absolute intent that, you know, I was going to have to be checked into the hospital. And as we went through the process, I mean, I ended up in the hospital. They checked me. They put me on some prescriptions, some meds. And I was, in essence, taking my blood pressure at home, you know, for the next weekend, morning, noon, and evening, and texting it in as I was being monitored. My other option was to sit in the hospital. And I had lots and lots and lots of time to think. Now, ironically, I had committed to become the chairman for Go Red for Women. So while I'm pondering this situation in which I am now, you know, signed up with a cardiologist and blood work and everything else to really begin to find what the root of all of this is, the facts from the American Heart Association just started ringing in my brain. And I'm going to give you two facts that just absolutely, you know, kicked my butt. The first one is, 1 in 3 women die from heart-related disease, whether that's stroke, heart attack, or heart disease. I mean, that's a staggering number. It's more than cancer. It's the number one killer of women. But here's the second fact that probably just absolutely had me wringing my hands. 80% of those deaths are preventable by diet and exercise. And Janelle, when I took those two facts and added them together, I knew that this was my responsibility and that I was accountable for turning this around if in fact it was going to be reversible. To make a, you know, I can give more details, but after all the cardiology tests, the blood work, you know, all of the other testing that I went through, which took probably another 6 to 8 weeks and literally thousands of dollars, I was formally diagnosed with hypertension, high cholesterol, and prediabetes. And since then, I have been on a journey to health. Since January 1, I've lost 35 pounds. I'm under a doctor's care and a doctor's supervision with that diet. And I'm going to tell you that I do at least 1 hour of aerobic exercise every day. I want my health. I need my health because you know what? I have got so much that I want to do.
I'm listening to your story, and I know we've talked some, but you've shared more here, and I can imagine just thinking back to your husband getting on the plane to go see, you know, a grandchild and family, and here you are grounded, and I know how much, you know, family means to you, and to not be able to be part of that, And then, you know, the statistic with 80% of, you know, the death, you know, deaths of, you know, women from heart disease and that are preventable.
Yep.
With
exactly.
Diet and exercise. So just changing things, taking care of ourselves, doing that, and losing 35 pounds is amazing because nobody would have thought you needed to lose anything. So, I mean, but it's made a difference in how you look and I think in your energy level too.
Without a doubt. You know, I mean, initially, I'm not one. I don't want to be reliant on a pill for the rest of my life. But in order to get the blood pressure down, I had to go on blood pressure medicine. And with the idea, what I said to the doctor, I said, my goal is I want to do what I need to do, what I have to do, so that I am not reliant on drugs. I want my body to be healthy. You know, and I recognize that there's a propensity to the disease because of my parents and my relatives. You know, I understand that, but they literally put me on 3 medications. After I had lost 20 pounds, they took me off 2 of the medications. And my blood pressure right now on 1 medication still, but yesterday when I was at the doctor, it was 118 over 78, which is better than the norm that they want, the 120 over 80. But my doctor, the doctor that I'm going to for the supervised diet, said to me, she goes, do you think that if I had told you, you know, 4 months ago, if you lose 20 pounds, you can absolutely, you know, get rid of this high blood pressure? And my answer, honestly, was no. You know, I mean, only 20 pounds. And I mean, that's where, you know, and I think especially, well, I was going to say women, but I think both men and women, that 10 or that 20 pound creeps up on us. And we're not obese, but, you know, we're probably carrying around more weight than we should. But that makes an impact on our body and our health. And so, I mean, the diet and the exercise, I mean, I'm the poster child. It is so critical. It is so important. And what an incredible difference it can make in our lives.
Absolutely. So how did you find 60 minutes to do aerobic exercise every day? Because I know you lead a very busy, fast-paced life. And that's one of the things people say is, I can't find the time. So if you can find it, I would say that, you know, most other people could find it because I doubt that people have the same kind of schedule that you keep. But how did you find that time?
Well, you know what? Number one, my health became the number one priority in my life because I needed it to do all the other things I wanted to do. And so, you know, it goes back to good old time management. I went and I looked at my calendar and I started reworking my calendar. And I do it both with diet and exercise because with the diet and knowing that what I want to eat or what I need to eat, I have to make plans ahead of time. And there are times that I bring my scales with me or that I may bring my own lunch or, you know, my own dinner, especially if I'm traveling and things. So, I mean, it becomes it changes the way you live. It really does. But as far as the exercise, and my doctor, you know, is a guide for me on this journey, has really helped me with that. But there's a real value in having 1 hour of aerobic exercise. But what she also shared with me, she said, Deborah, you don't have to do it 1 hour at a time. You know, what I'm going to ask you to do is get up in the morning, and if you can get out there for a 20 or a 30-minute brisk walk, you know, before you take your shower and get ready for your day, you know, that's great. But then you can take and put these pieces and parts throughout your day. If you're running errands or you're going to go meet somebody, go park in the parking spot furthest from the door and then walk at a really brisk rate to get there. You know, she goes, it may only take you 5 minutes or 3 minutes, but all of this can add up. you know, I don't, my mailbox is, you know, at the front of my condominium unit. It is probably a quarter of a mile away. You know, and most people stop their cars. I come home and then walk back. You know, it's just looking for those opportunities to get the body moving. But to be truly honest with you, if you were to look on my calendar, my big rocks are my exercise. And while I try to do those incremental pieces throughout the day, I absolutely save time for myself first thing in the morning and then probably 30 minutes after I get home. And if I've got evening meetings or whatever the case might be, you know what? I still go with my husband or my dogs for at least a 15-20 minute walk in the evening. Dogs are great. They have to be walked. So, I mean, they're a great reason to get out there and move the body.
Well, I love the way that you put it together in small bits and pieces. We need to take another quick break. And when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about some of the food changes you made and how you kind of plan for your week and how you build in your busy schedule with that. This is Janelle McCauley, and you're listening to Eat Great, Live Well Radio.
Do you struggle with your weight or your health? Do you wish you had more energy to do the things you really want to do? Are you tired of counting calories and fad dieting? Do you want to eat your favorite foods and not feel guilty? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then the Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program is the answer for you. Being healthy isn't about fad dieting, feeling guilty, or eating nothing but tofu and wheatgrass. It's about making small, healthy choices that add up over time to create life-changing transformation for you and your family. The Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program will show you how easy it is to be healthy, happy, and well-fed all at the same time. Visit eatgreatlivewell.com for more information or to enroll in this life-changing program. You deserve to both eat great and live well. Check it out today at eatgreatlivewell.com.
This is the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm your host, Janelle McCauley, and today we're talking with Deborah Bateman. And before the break, we were talking about her role this year as chair of the Phoenix American Heart Association, Go Red for Women. And she was talking a lot, and I love all the tips that you shared, Deborah, about exercise, and you don't have to do it all at once. And I think that's one of the myths that people think is if you don't do it for an hour at a time, it's not valuable. But every 5 or 10 minutes added up throughout the day make a big difference. It makes, you know, much more different than just sitting on the couch and saying, I don't have an hour, I'm not going to do anything. Every little bit adds up, and you're a great example of how that's worked.
Thank you. No, it really does. And, you find the opportunities, truly, as you're out there. Parking lots are my best friends.
They are, and stairs are a great thing to do, too, if you're in an office or you're going to meetings. Take the stairs versus the elevator. Again, it may seem like it's not that big of a deal, but the steps really add up. You know, when we recently got a Fitbit, and, you know, it's amazing how it, you know, monitoring your steps, it really makes you think differently about what you're doing. And it's funny because towards the end of the day, Michael will look at his and say, okay, I need another 500 steps. We're walking down to the mailbox or we're taking a walk around the block, you know, to get to his 10,000 steps. So,
you know what? That's exactly what I do. I now wear a Fitbit also, and I've got mine programmed for the 10,000. I mean, that's just kind of my daily goal, and you look at it and you go, okay, what am I going to do? So it's a great reminder, and it's a great tool.
It is, and I know a lot of people that I know work at home or work in an office, and they're not getting up, and I know I was guilty of that. You think you're moving a lot, but when we're doing those things, you don't realize how sedentary you can become. So it's really shifted, again, the awareness and what we're doing. And, you know, I love the fact that you're, you know, in charge of Go Red for Women, because I think, you know, we talked about it. There's no accidents, and it's amazing how, you know, that kind of aligned with everything else and your health issues and all of that have all come together, because you can really, you can share your experience, and it's not just someone who's leading, you know, an organization or leading an event. You're really leading it passionately because you have experienced what a difference it can make.
Without a doubt. I mean, I thought so much about that, Janelle, because, I mean, I absolutely have been a supporter of American Heart Association. And the Go Red for Women event is such a great event because the proceeds from the event actually go towards the education of women about heart disease, because heart disease symptoms are very, very different in women than they are in men. And for years, even the medical industry, our doctors, didn't recognize that. And probably one of the reasons that heart disease has been the number one killer of women is because it doesn't necessarily have obvious symptoms. And so you've got to know your numbers. You've got to know your cholesterol. You've got to know what your blood pressure, you know, is. Those numbers, I didn't. I just had pushed them away, ignored them, didn't think that that would happen to me, and probably put myself on the precipice of absolutely, you know, having something horrible happen to me and my health. So, I mean, I'm very fortunate. But we've got to get that message out. People need to know those numbers.
Absolutely, absolutely. And before the break, we talked about exercise and all the things that you can do. Can you talk a little bit about the eating changes that you made?
Yeah.
I know you go to a lot of meetings. You do a lot of different things. So how do you not feel deprived? And what kind of shifts have you made that really work for you and your lifestyle?
You know what? Right now, I'm on a special diet. So, I mean, my diet is restricted, and I am under a doctor's care. I would never, ever advise anybody to do as aggressive a diet as I am without being under a doctor's care. The diet that I'm doing, though, has no pills and no shots. And, again, part of my core value is I don't want artificial means to mask symptoms or to not allow my body to work at its optimum. And so this diet and this doctor absolutely appeal to me. But I think the number one thing is that I approach this with a positive mindset. I want this more than anything. This is my number one goal right now in my life, is to get back my health, get my blood pressure under control, get my cholesterol at a level that it's not dangerous, you know, to me or to my body, and to absolutely move the needle backwards on the pre-diabetic. I don't want to face that. I don't want to deal with that. So I am mentally bought in. I mean, and so from a motivation and intention standpoint, I have been incredibly strong. I have been 100% compliant. I have not been tempted, but I also got the support of my family. I'm on a diet right now that a lot of people probably have heard of or maybe know what they've done. And so I'm on what they call a protein modified sparing diet. So I eat just X amount of protein, lean protein a day with 3 servings of vegetables. And I've gotten very creative. I eat a lot of salads. But you know what? I don't miss anything else. And I am satisfied because I see the progress and I'm making headway, and not just with my weight, but with my health. And so I see a doctor, you know, every 2 weeks right now. I mean, this is a real serious thing for me. So, I mean, I'm intense, I'm focused, and I am on purpose. So from my standpoint, the changes that I've made are probably more radical because I wanted to do this and I wanted to get it done. But my doctor is also helping me to understand that once I go on my maintenance, which will be not too far in the distant future, that it's really about eating to live and not living to eat. That there's so many calories that I need to take in a day in order to fuel my body to do the things that I need to do. And if I want to eat more than those calories, then what I have to do is burn them off with, you know, exercise or whatever the case might be. So, I mean, it sounds so incredibly simple, but I think that's why, you know, whether we're using the Fitbit or, you know, I know that other diets like Weight Watchers have points and things like that. But I think once you've got to that optimum weight, that desired weight that you want, it is about, you know, using up those calories on a daily basis.
No, you're absolutely right. And it really is about eating to live and not living to eat. And I would feel pretty safe to say that as you've adjusted what you're eating and how you're eating and the choices you're making, your palate has changed and food tastes probably more flavorful without all the additives and all the sweets
really
and all the extras.
The things that I know now, because, I mean, all of this is, you know, I'm learning as I go, is I don't actually have hunger, but because I've eliminated sugar from my diet. First thing I eliminated before I even went on the diet was caffeine. And I've eliminated caffeine because, again, the caffeine will push up your blood pressure if you're prone to high blood pressure. So that was horrible. I was going to say a swear word. That was really crappy. I mean, headaches. I was moody and miserable for probably a week to 10 days. And I'm so glad I did that before I went on the diet, because once I went on the diet, then I eliminated the sugars. And sugar is what also stimulates your appetite. So, I mean, it's a vicious circle. You know, you look at a cupcake and think, oh, I'll just have half that cupcake. Well, what it's doing internally for you at the same time, maybe while you got to taste it and, you know, feel good about eating only half, that sugar is actually creating a situation which then has you hunger for more. So, you know, through the elimination of the sugar and the carbohydrates right now, I mean, I will add some of those back into my diet. I actually do not have hunger pains. And you know what? I've been really, really good to myself. Knowing that I'm limited to X amount of protein a day, lean protein a day, I buy filet mignon, I buy sea bass, I buy filet mignon, or I did filet mignon already, I buy salmon, I buy shrimp. You know, I'm treating myself incredibly well during this time.
Mm-hmm. But it's much more flavorful, and when you get off of sugar and you adjust so you're not using the sugar and the salt, it really does impact your taste buds. And when you get that, you really are much more satisfied if you eat really flavorful food and eat it in smaller portions and take a small bite and just really enjoy the flavor. I say savor the flavor, but really enjoy it, really taste it.
No, you do. You taste it all. I actually was at someone's home last night, and bless their heart, they called before to say, Deborah, I know you're on the diet. What do you eat? And they made a beautiful salad for me. But you know what? And again, I'm not using dressing right now because of the fats and things. But, you know, I used some Mrs. Dash on it. I mean, salt is deadly. Salt is, I mean, you know, salt, especially with the American Heart Association, I mean, they've really tried to create an awareness that, you know, there's certain foods that salt is just hidden in. But for what we know, if we can read labels and really keep our salt intake down to 1,500 milligrams a day, that is best for us. But salt absolutely will aggravate high blood pressure. And too many times, I no longer cook with salt. And I would love to tell you I don't put salt on the table, but my husband does use the salt and pepper shakers. But you know what? Food, and there are other spices that are not as harmful as salt is to your body that can truly enhance that flavor. So, I mean, yeah, sugar, salt. I mean, there's so many things that when you really begin to understand, and I know you know, Janelle, what those things do to your body, we really have to question the habits that we've created over a lifetime.
Absolutely. We're going to take our final break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about how your change in exercise and eating has impacted your family, and also talk a little bit about your learning journeys and the things that you're doing with women. This is Janelle McCauley, and you're listening to Eat Great, Live Well Radio.
Do you struggle with your weight or your health? Do you wish you had more energy to do the things you really want to do? Are you tired of counting calories and fad dieting? Do you want to eat your favorite foods and not feel guilty? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then the Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program is the answer for you. Being healthy isn't about fad dieting, feeling guilty, or eating nothing but tofu and wheatgrass. It's about making small, healthy choices that add up over time to create life-changing transformation for you and your family. The Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program will show you how easy it is to be healthy, happy, and well-fed all at the same time. Visit eatgreatlivewell.com for more information or to enroll in this life-changing program. You deserve to both eat great and live well. Check it out today at eatgreatlivewell.com.
You're listening to Janelle McCauley on the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm your host, Janelle McCauley, and today we're talking with Deborah Bateman, and we're talking about her health journey. We're talking about her, what she's doing as chairman of the American Heart Association, Go Red for Women, here in Phoenix, and how that was, it's interesting that she took on that role and then she had her own health challenge. So it's interesting, there are no accidents, and now she's got an amazing story to tell women to really become more aware of what they're doing. And I'd love to ask you, Deborah, how have the changes you've made in what you're eating, in what you're doing and exercise, how's that impacted your husband and your family?
You know what? They have given me so much support. And my husband is actually eating with me. He may eat more than I do. His serving may be larger, but he is actually not requiring a separate meal or doing things on his own. So he's embraced this and actually is very, very excited about it. And I would say from an overall, you know, the first thing people notice, that people can't see inside you and notice your health. But obviously, I've had a physical transformation also with the loss of 35 pounds. And, I mean, the motivation and the inspiration that I get from people saying, Deborah, you look so great. You know, I mean, oh, my gosh, what are you doing? You know, and giving me an opportunity to tell them has also acted, you know, as additional inspiration. You know, and a lot of people will get, I've had conversations, will say, oh, I want to do this. I want to lose a couple dress sizes and everything else. And I do correct them because I say, I want you to understand that the benefits physically have been secondary or tertiary to me. The reason I'm doing this, the reason this is happening is because of my health. You know, the rest of the stuff is a wonderful side benefit, but this is something about my health. I had one girlfriend said, Deborah, I don't know how you're doing this. I don't know that I could go 3 months, 4 months without a glass of wine. And I said to her, you could if your motivation was optimum health. And once you make that decision, it's easy to give these other things up. So it's been, I've been supported, I've been embraced, and it's been a wonderful experience for me.
It really sounds like it has been. And I think one thing people don't really realize, and this has been a huge driver for me, that the changes that you make in your health can impact up to 6 generations going forward. So I think back to my father who had a heart attack and quadruple bypass at age 51. He changed the way he ate. He changed what he did. And all of the men, the generations before him, all died at a very early age from heart health issues. He shifted that, and he lived 16 years after the doctor said he was done, you know, get your affairs in order, you're done. And he got to know 19 of his grandchildren. So, you know, he lived longer. The 9 of us are all in, you know, fairly good health. And then there were 28 grandchildren, and now there's the generation of what would have been his great-grandchildren. So we're already on our 4th generation. So it really does impact the future.
Therein lies the legacy. And there again, that reinforces my why. You know, it's one of the reasons that, you know, whether it's Go Red for Women, or as you are aware, so much of what I do with my company is very much focused on women. And while I coach both men and women, I believe that women are really the key to changing the world. In your case, obviously, your grandfather made those changes. But think about this. When you can help a woman embrace a change, what she does is she will change herself. But most times when she changes herself, she also then changes her family. And then when her family changes, they have the impact of changing their community. And then when that community changes, obviously that's when the world can change. It's the ripple effect, and it's so incredibly powerful.
That's as you were telling, you know, talking about that, that's exactly what I thought was that ripple effect.
Yeah.
Can you take just and share just a little bit about your learning journeys? Because I think that really helps reinforce what you're trying to do, because that really shifts women and who they are, and really, I think, gets them in touch with what they're capable of doing.
It really does, Janelle, and thank you. I've actually got 2 different types of learning journeys that we do. One is called a wisdom quest, and the other one is, we do call it a learning journey. And the wisdom quest is very much focused for women, but it's a time where we will actually go away, get away from everything, and really allow them not only to share their life story up to this particular point, but we also have them do what we refer to as a full stop, really come in touch with their core values, and then really project out on what they want the rest of their life to be. We call it writing your next chapter. It also has to do with, depending on where you are in life, really beginning to think about the legacy that you may want to create. It's very, very powerful. And there's something magical about being away, taking a trip, being in a different locale. When we do the learning journeys, we very much will immerse ourselves into the culture, because I think when you really can immerse yourself into a culture and really be present, it really allows you to reach a new level, to begin to, here we go again, dig deep and understand who you are and really begin to understand what that potential legacy is and the difference that you can make in the world.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's interesting, and this is a great place to, you know, as we wind down our conversation together, because so many of the experts and people that I talk to that have been through health challenges, it really comes down to being fully present, being mindful. We all go so fast most of the time, but it's really important to take time to stop, reflect, and be thankful for all the things in our life and really look at our role and what we're doing and the choices that we're making, because they impact not only us, but again, going to that ripple effect, they impact the people that we touch, and then what they do impacts others. And we really have a big role to play, and it's, you know, what we do with it will really impact the results.
You've got it. You understand it. I think travel is such a gift, because I truly do believe that what you discover is yourself.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Can you tell our listeners how they can get more information about you and your learning journeys and what you have to offer?
You bet. It's really easy. I've got a website that is www.deborahbateman.com, and there's information there about my speaking engagements, my coaching opportunities, and of course our learning journeys and retreats. So there's a place to also sign up for my weekly blog, and you know, I would love to be able to send that out. Last week's was on intention. This week's is on really looking at life, leadership, and legacy, what I call the three L's. So absolutely, I'd love for people to check in and sign up.
Perfect. Thank you. And we will put a link to that on our eatgreatlivewellradio.com page for people to connect with you also. And can you, I'd love to ask our listener, our guests, if they could give our listeners just one action that they can implement in the next week to start creating a healthy future for themselves and those they love. What would you recommend that they do?
You know what? It's so easy. It's the most powerful tool that I've got in my toolbox, and that is begin setting a daily intention. And when I say setting a daily intention, I'm going to say, you know, get up, look at your day, and ask yourself, how do you want to feel during that day? Do you want to feel powerful? Do you want to feel serene? Do you want to feel tranquil? Do you want to feel confident? But embody that feeling, capture that feeling, and bring it in, and then make a verbal and or a written intention about what you're going to do. Today I am going to be true to my health and my diet and adhere. You know, it may be something as simple as I'm going to drink my 8 glasses of water today, you know, but it's setting that goal out there so that you continue to move forward in advance. If you can begin setting a daily intention every day, it will change your life.
I love that recommendation, and thank you very much for your time and all of your sharing today, Deborah.
Janelle, thank you so much. It has been a pleasure to talk with you.
So until next week, remember that even small changes can make a positive difference to your health and your life. Healthy choices you make every day add up over time to create a healthy future for yourself and your family. Be sure to join me each week as we continue the conversation on how to build a healthy relationship with food and with yourself. And again, I invite you to go to eatgreatlivewellradio.com and be part of the conversation. Click on our Facebook link and share your thoughts. Share what your intention for the week is. Share what you loved about today's conversation. So take care. Have a great and healthy week. Bye-bye for now.
Thank you for tuning in to Eat Great, Live Well Radio, your trusted source for the information you need to take control of your health and your life. Each week at this time, we bring you straight talk about eating healthier without giving up the foods you love. Join us next Thursday and every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on the EWN Radio Network. To get a replay of this week's show, listen to past shows, or contact Janelle, go to eatgreatlivewellradio.com. Have a great week, and remember, you can choose to eat great and live well.